during the coronavirus.
Yo, what's up, FUBAR Radio?
We're Bars and Melody.
And we are a duo from the UK. We are musicians. I'm a singer. You're a rapper. But we like to mix and match because that's what we fucking do. So my top tip for getting through isolation is just creating new ways to entertain yourself. Like, I've done so much of that. And I'm finding every day new things that I enjoy doing. Even things that I haven't done for years that I've, like, started doing again. Or, like, stuff that I've never done before that is making me happier than some things that have made me happy for a long time, you know?
During isolation, like, in the morning, like, I try to change up my routine. So when I'm brushing my teeth, I brush along to a song. So I'm like, staying alive, staying alive. You know what I mean?
In these times, times are hard, times are tough. I know a lot of people are struggling right now, and everyone is, you know, everyone in their own way is struggling. But as humanity, we need to pull together, get through this, stay strong, stick together, and yeah, just stay positive. Peace.
A huge welcome to Joe Bannister.
Welcome!
Hello,
welcome.
Thank you very much. I had the hype, Matt. That's great. Yeah, that's a real welcome, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. He's just topping me every day.
I do what I can.
I'm not going to bring any more sweets to the studio.
Oh, you know what it is? It's a sugar high.
This is what's happened.
He's going to have a crash in a bit. So yeah. Like, welcome back.
By the end of the show. But welcome. So we are here to have a chit-chat about Howard's End.
Yes.
Which is a period drama on BBC.
Correct.
Which is on my absolute actor's hit list to be in a period, BBC period drama.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was that experience like?
It was brilliant. I mean, just, yeah, short answer, brilliant. Yeah. Other answer. It's funny, the period drama thing, because there is a real temptation when you're in, like, a stiff collar and tweed to not really play a real person anymore and just be like, oh, I'm in a period drama, hello. Yeah. So our director, Hetty, was brilliant at going, please remember that you are a human as well. You're not just a suit and a hat and nice clothes. So, yeah, so we do, often you do one take and she go, okay, you were being period again, try and be a real person, and you try and loosen it up. And right, I think that comes through, that it is quite loose and people talk over each other and it's kind of messy rather than being too, like, oh,
prim and proper kind of thing.
Everything is, yeah, exactly.
Because I think definitely with shows like Downton Abbey and things, there's been a definite revival of the corset.
Yes.
And this is gorgeous to look at as well. Like, I did a degree in costume way back when,
oh,
so
really?
I super appreciate anything that's, like, tailored or, like, so I was just loving what it looked like. And it reminded me of that, like, Beatrix Potter kind of, because it's set around that time,
around that
isn't
time,
it?
Yeah, 1905.
Turn of the century.
Exactly.
And what you're saying about, being like real people, because obviously it's the storyline. I mean, do you want to just, like, you're probably going to fill in the storyline.
It is a difficult one to sum up because it's not like, there's like a bomb in a place and you've got to solve it. So it's basically about two sisters, the Schlegel sisters, who are kind of like liberal, arty, middle class types. And it's about them going through their lives trying to find meaning and love and working out what they're doing. And then there's an upper class family, the Wilcoxes, that I'm part of, that are like, stiff upper lip, patriarchy, shut up, we know what we're doing, come on, this is all bosh.
Yeah.
And then
word in it. Yeah. they're having like a political argument in the show, and Matthew McFadden's character keeps going, bosh!
Yeah.
Like, so when you disagree with something, you just gotta go, oh, bosh!
Yeah. Can we bring that back as slang?
Yeah, totally.
Put it on t-shirts.
Wow.
I was thinking,
that's,
I was
so
like, bosh.
Yeah,
I wanna,
bring it back, man.
Can you imagine?
Bosh.
I'm gonna use that in the review show, like, later on.
Yeah.
When we're reviewing something, what did you think of that? Bosh!
Yeah. Proper bosh.
Yeah, that is great. So that sums up their family, is the Bosch family, basically.
Bosch family, yes.
And then there's the Bast family, who are the kind of lower middle class, working class family. And so these two girls spend their lives trying to kind of only connect, is the kind of message of the whole thing, that we need to try and understand people who aren't like us, even if they might seem horrible, like the upper class twits that we are. But you need to try and, like, and reach out and be like, well, what is it about this person? And don't just judge them by their gender or their class.
Okay.
And try and understand them. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but that's kind of the message.
That's an interesting story to set in that time period as well. I don't think we've seen that before, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and because there's loads going on then. Like, there's about to be a war. They don't know that, obviously.
Little did they know.
Yeah, yeah. And everything's uncertain. I mean, things are pretty uncertain now. Hopefully not a war coming up. Let's not get too tough.
Let's hope that's not coming.
Yeah. But it's, so it kind of like relates to now, I think. Like, there's a similar kind
holding
of, like,
a mirror up to society.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. With lovely tweed and corsets.
Yes, with beautiful costumes as well.
And how long did it take to film, though? What was that like?
It's about 2.5 months in total. 2.5 to 3 months.
Where were you guys filming?
all over. That's one of the best things about period drama is you're like, so each house is in different parts of the countryside, and you go to see all these amazing grand houses, and like I get to drive a car from 1905, which was terrifying because they are nothing like cars now.
Wait, was it an actual car?
It's a real car.
They're still running.
From then, it's like, so I was terrified because it's worth more than I am because it's from, there aren't many of them.
Well, they made them to last back then.
So if you crash the car, they'd be like, is the car okay?
Like that. But the gears are like in a different place. The pedals are backwards, so the accelerator and the brake are the other way around.
Who the hell changed that?
Why?
Can you imagine the year that changed over? It'd be carnage. Everyone's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, the great car crash year.
I find it weird when I drive to France and you literally get on the Eurotunnel and then you drive off and then suddenly everything's on the other side.
Yeah,
and
backwards.
You've got to like backwards it.
But always remember, drive on the right in France.
I mean, I have to admit, that's very occasionally, I will just set off and I'll be, for a second, I'll be like, just watch other people. Which is the right side again? So you worked with Hayley Atwell, who's one of the sisters, and Matthew McFadden. I personally think that he suits that time period.
He's from there, isn't he? I don't know what it is.
He's
amazing deep. It's the Marks and Spencer's voice. All those adverts, like, this is not just food.
Does he actually do Marks and Spencer's?
He did, yeah. He did those voice overs. That was him.
If not, he definitely should.
It's so silky and deep.
Yeah, it just makes you hungry listening to him.
Yeah,
but was there any like on-set period banter?
Yeah, there was. Well, I mean, Hayley's loves games like Heads Up. You know the Heads Up.
Heads Up is dumb.
So we spent most of our time. There's a scene in the second. There's a funeral, and we spend the whole day in our funeral gear in between takes playing Heads Up. I think there's a video of it on our Instagram. It's like not at all method acting. It's the opposite of method acting.
People
like we go on action, really sad cut. Okay, so
we're back in 21st century technology.
Yeah, exactly. So then we lost that, and she did prank Matthew. Because they had a running joke about how he becomes more and more babyish throughout as he loses power and stuff. So on the last day, she left a big nappy and a giant pacifier. And a milk and a like little baby's bottle in his trailer.
That's brilliant.
Because it helps, because you're there for so long and you're standing around so much.
Yeah, you've got to stay safe.
Without
somehow.
That, you just go mad. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you do on sales? Are you on
I play games as well, but my phone's never like on my person. They always take it off me. We play like the movie game and that kind of stuff, like you go around in a circle saying actors and movies and stuff. You know the one, like De Niro.
I love that game.
Like, I don't know that game. Well, clearly I'm not on enough sets. Fine, rub it in, guys. What's the De Niro game?
De Niro game. Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, it's like, different versions, if I started, I'd say a film. And then you'd have to name someone in that film.
And then I'd have to name a film that that actor's been in. We could do a quick round.
Quick round.
You start.
Okay.
Make it easy, though.
A big one. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Love Actually.
Oh, damn it. Is it Make It Easy? No, go.
Keira Knightley.
I can't think of any Keira Knightley films.
She's in so many films.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice. Johnny Depp.
Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else in that film.
So then Ozzy would get
a letter. I get a D, and then we go around, and then if somebody said, like, a De Niro, then you reset all your... You play it like that?
Yeah.
You reset all your lives, basically.
That's a really fun game.
It passes the time.
Yeah, it passes the time so quickly.
See, people are getting worse at, like, keeping their own attention span and playing games and stuff.
Yeah, it's just straight on your phone.
Yeah,
like, when we were filming and you had no signal... Suddenly it was like, hi, nice to meet you. Who are you?
I had my phone recently taken away from me for a challenge for 24 hours. They challenged me because I work in social media a lot, and they were like, can you be without your phone for 24 hours? And it was really hard, and I was so upset with myself at how much I wanted
missed it.
Yeah, I felt like super left out. I
would
have
wished that on my worst of days. Yeah.
But did you find, by the end, did you find like inner peace? And
Well, what I did realise is that when you're on your own without your phone, it's super lonely. When you are with other people or friends without your phone, it is so much better.
Right.
So you should definitely all chuck your phones away
when you meet up.
When you go for drinks, do that the table phone thing where like the first person to pick up their phone has to pay for all the drinks for the whole night.
That's good.
That's a pretty good one. I never do it, but it should be done.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
We're now joined in the studio by my friend and yours, Nat. And you're an actor. You're a writer.
Yeah.
And you're a musician.
Yeah.
Joe DaCosta.
That's me.
What do you think of yourself as?
How would you describe yourself?
How do I describe myself? First things first, Aquarius. That's always the first thing.
The fish?
The fish. What
fish one.
What are the main things? Pisces, isn't it?
I don't know.
Aquarius is the jugs.
The jugs?
The jugs.
Nice jugs.
What are the common things about Aquarian people?
I have no idea.
No.
It's not real.
I'm Libra, which means I'm well balanced.
I'm Taurus, the bull.
The bull?
The bull.
Absolute bull.
Absolute jug shit.
I say, when I listen to you talk, Matt, I think, a lot of the time, I'm thinking, this is bull stuff.
Yes.
Absolute bull stuff. And you're Aquarius. Okay, right. We're not going to talk about Aquarius, right?
Don't.
Aries. Aquarius. You've looked up Aries there.
I regret bringing this up.
Yeah, I know. This is what happens when you...
Underprepared.
When you're just tell us, who are you?
I'm Joe DaCosta. This has been established.
How would you describe yourself?
6'1".
Free-spirited and eccentric. They can often be identified by their offbeat fashion sensibilities, unusual hobbies and nonconformist attitude. Aquarius is ruled by Uranus.
Yes.
The planet that governs innovation, technology and surprising events. Mate, this actually sums you up to a fucking
I'm
tea.
Completely ruled by my anus.
But like, free-spirited and eccentric.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They can often be identified by their offbeat fashion sensibilities. I don't think you're quite traditional.
I've gone fairly traditional.
Yeah, fairly traditional.
Unusual hobbies. You are a musician, but you use all sorts of fucking weird technology around it.
Weird
shit.
You
can play almost any instrument other than a harmonica. And non-conformist attitude. I mean, why said describe yourself in however many words? And your first answer was Aquarius.
I basically said
and
I conform.
You didn't realise that Aquarius was actually going to say, yep, that's something you're up.
Got me pegged.
Absolutely.
Damn it, what website's that?
YouPorn. Although Aquarians are highly capable of many things, they are best suited for roles that require unconventional thinking. This is you, mate.
This is freakish.
Do Libra. What's Libra? Do Libra. What were you again?
Taurus.
Taurus. Do Libra and Taurus. Bull stuff. So what month are you born in, Nat?
April. End of April.
April. And what month are you born in?
February.
February. Okay, and I'm October the 1st.
Day after Valentine's
October the 1st.
Day.
Coming up soon, actually, October the 1st.
Right.
Did you just plug your birthday? Is that allowed?
October 1st. If you're listening.
I love birthdays so much. Librans possess a natural surface cleverness, but it doesn't get much deeper than that, and a swift humour that make them all fantastic company. All of them. Except for the many people that have abandoned me.
Probably not Librans.
Libra is the most charming of the group. Yeah, I would say I'm a fucking charming cunt. Librans are best known for their love of balance.
Do you love balance?
I would tell you this. I once stood on... I'm actually vertigo. Or what is it? Acrophobia. Is that it?
Acrophobia?
That's what he has in the film.
Acrobat?
Yeah. I think that's what he has in the film Vertigo.
Acrophobia.
He doesn't have vertigo.
That's what
he has
Robin is from Batman and Robin.
He's an acrobat. No,
that's right.
That's Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
What, if you had to come up with a word for the dynamic duo, it would simply be acrobat. Cleverer. Libra is obsessed with symmetry. Librans possess a natural surface. Okay, Libra is obsessed with symmetry and strives to create equilibrium. I tried to make that film in my garden. It's very difficult to recreate some of the bullet times effects, especially back then on a Nokia. In all areas of life, these air signs are the aesthetes of the zodiac, ruled by Venus, the planet that governs love, beauty, and look what you've done, Joe. Money. Libras adore high art, intellectualism, and connoisseurship. Yeah, I fucking do. I fucking love high art, intellectualism, and connoisseurship. Taurus are famous for their stubbornness.
Oh, I'm going to have a nightmare, aren't I?
There's more to them than that.
Yes, thank you.
They've spelt then wrong. It should be than. There's more to them than that. They're a bit of a dark horse.
Bit of a dark horse.
Ruled by the planet Venus. Ah, yeah, ruled by Venus. I'm ruled by Venus. You're ruled by Venus.
Oh, yeah. They share her traits of beauty. Thank you.
Artistry, hedonism, and the love of luxury and comfort.
I love luxury and comfort. I love comfort.
And luxury. I've smelt your hands. I talk about the soap that you use.
The luxury.
Taurans can't help but be jealous. That's not true about you, is it?
No,
it's just in their nature. The Taurus
can't help it.
Lover may not speak on jealousy, but they will show it. They might not even acknowledge it, but Taurus is a possessive sign. They like to own things. They like to know.
I do like to own things.
Are theirs. All you need to know if a Taurus man is madly in love is to look into his eyes. You say it's dead air, but what actually happens is that when we do those pauses and stuff like that, our fans back at their homes or offices or buses, they get up a picture of us and they just stare at us. And it's never dead air.
If they
whack the volume up, they can just hear us breathing.
We've just got to do it.
And they look into their eyes, and that's why he may be avoiding eye contact and acting like he hardly knows you. Be patient and stay open to him. He will find the courage to show his love in a good time.
Why is he always his? That seems very weird.
Well, Taurus is a bull.
Oh, right.
If Taurus wasn't a bull, it would be a cow. Heifer. So a bull is male.
All right, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Whereas...
yeah, Venus is a she.
Venus is a she, isn't it?
Do we need to check? Should we check?
No, Venus is a she.
Okay.
Anyway, so, well, you're a solo musician. You're a solo musician, aren't you?
Yes, a solo.
So that means you only have one thing.
And your solo act is called Beg Friend.
That's correct, yeah. Beg Friend.
Yeah. Your music is quite ethereal, isn't it?
It's, yeah, whingy, whiny, self-indulgent folktronica.
Because you're a very funny man.
You are a funny man.
Thanks.
And I enjoy hanging out with you. And that sort of... I know when I first listened to your music that sort of side to you isn't directly apparent. You don't get that side of you when just from hanging out with you. Because we met on Uncle, weren't we? You were in episode 7 of series 3, the last series.
Yes.
There were 7, was there?
Yeah, they caught a little... They managed to do a thing where they... What's the show that they made? Psychoville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they did Psychoville, basically, they didn't have enough budget to make the series that they wanted. So, for 6 episodes. So what they did was they pitched 7 episodes, made one of the episodes dirt cheap, where it was only 2 characters in 1 location. They filmed it like Rope.
Yes, I remember.
So they
that,
had a rehearsal period, but they actually only filmed it. They filmed it in 2 days rather than 5 days, right? And they only had one set of character makeup and all of that. And there's only 3 people in it. And with the money that they saved on that episode, they spread it over the rest of the series, and they managed to make the series that they wanted to. And what actually resulted in that was that it was their best episode. I thought that Rope episode that they did on Psychoville was great. And I think there may have been something to do with that. And also, but maybe it was the fact that on the 3rd series one, they wanted to do a Christmas special, but then they didn't really want to do a Christmas special in the end. So they just sort of like wrapped everything up in one last episode, where there was a bit of Christmas in it, but... it wasn't Christmas special. Anyway, I get really successful in that episode, and I am stuck with a band that hate me, and you're in the band.
True.
How did you prepare for that role?
I had to pretend that I didn't like you, which was difficult.
I wish you went method on, didn't you?
Studied for weeks, just practicing, looking at your picture.
No, yeah, it was a difficult set to be on that day. You managed to turn a lot of the cast and crew against me on the very last.
But they were preparing for the whole of that series as well, weren't they?
Yeah, to really, you know...
The T-shirts.
...going up against me.
The T-shirts that I...
But it really paid off, I think, when you watch it.
Sure. it was a very lonely set to be on. But, yeah, we've been friends ever since then. And what I would strike most about you is how funny you are in real life. But then your music is not like that at all.
Funny, no.
So, but it's really, I would say that it's a little bit like, is it Sigur Rós?
Yeah, Sigur. Those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And Solomon Grey. There's a little element of Solomon Grey in
there. Yeah, I mean.
You've been guests in the past.
Former fan club guest.
It's not, it's basically the most... like cathartic thing I do, and it's where all the unfunny shame and guilt and regret go, and I can just process them and put them in that place, so I can just be relaxed.
I think that's good though, because I think it'd be much worse if you described your music as, what's it like, it's really funny. Really funny music.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I hate about I don't hate anything about writing music, but one of the things that I find annoying in a hateful way about writing music is that I've got songs that aren't funny.
What?
But I've created an environment for myself where there's no demand for it. And
but I think we've discussed this before, because with you, you're not really writing comedy songs.
I'm just trying to write songs, but then you do realise that you've got to put a joke in there, and you go, oh. Whereas I think maybe I should just come up with another name for it. I'll come up with a group and I'll release it under a different name, and I can release all that stuff. I mean, you use so many effects on your voices and stuff that you don't really sound like
Sound like me.
A human.
A human. Yeah, I mess around with a lot of weird... like, I've got what people in the music industry called GAS, which is gear acquisition syndrome, where I just buy stuff all the time. Just constantly want to buy a new toy. And I mess around... you end up getting these... you can basically put, like, instruments together using weird formulas. And often I'll be thinking, like, if I put that synthesizer through this delay, then this reverb. It's just the most boring, like, geeky kind of synthy stuff that you can do. But I get, like, hung up on that kind of stuff.
Is that your main thing? Is that a thing you'd want to do if you could do any one thing?
I don't think I'd want to do just one thing, but yeah, sure. I would definitely just want to write music and then perform it and then go and write it and then that just to be my job.
Mm.
But I heard Dave Chappelle talking about his idea of success and he was talking about how he was trying to explain it to his dad. Like, if I make what a teacher makes doing stand-up comedy, then that is my idea of success. Like, if I can earn a living doing what I love, then that's fine. And that's basically what I'm aiming at. Just, it used to be the guitar-shaped swimming pool and stuff, but now it's like I just want some money so that I can live and make music.
No, I think that's the ideal, isn't it? Everyone just wants... I think that's the... it's kind of going the other way now, whereas it feels like everyone who's creative makes zero money from as, like, you know, 20 years ago they were making billions, and now it feels like it's gone completely the other way.
Probably about music. As soon as it looked like you got an Apple or an iMac that, you know, that had music software on it, and it was just like, actually anyone can make music. It's kind of like it's this thing where it's a hugely overpopulated marketplace.
It's going to be redundant. I was talking to this AI expert and he was saying that in 20 years they're just going to have algorithms that just make content for you, that just build the content for you. So there's already a band called Relentless Doppelganger, which are this black metal. It's basically an algorithm computer, as I understand it. It's an algorithm, and they've just pumped a load of black metal songs into it, and it just spits out random black metal, like, constantly. There's a live stream of it going on forever, and it's just it just works. And he was like, he put that on, and he was like, I love it. Straight away, he loved it. And I think that's what it's going to be, that for film, that for comedy, that for music. It's just going to be content. It's going to be made by AI to suit your preferences.
I hate that.
It's the most depressing thing that's ever happened.
I don't hate
the worst thing about it is you would hear it, though, and go, no, I do like it.
Yeah, it's really good. You wouldn't have a choice.
Absolutely.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Our guest of the day, it is the lovely Cara Romani.
What's happening?
Thanks, guys, for having me.
No, not at all. It's an absolute pleasure. So, where does Cara Romani come from? Like, what are your roots in the UK? Where do you represent?
I'm like North London, so like East Finchley.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I used to bunk school a lot.
Where did you go to school?
Highgate.
I went to Highgate.
Well, I went to St Aloysius in Highgate.
Yeah, that's my end.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Where did you guys go to school?
I went to school in Chingford, which is like
East.
Okay, right, not my ends, no. But still big up Chingford, big up East.
Big up the massive, yeah. The originals.
What did you do in Eastford? So you said you bunked off school and went to East Finchley.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Out.
Yeah, exactly. You bunked off school to go to East Finchley.
That's for the crew,
isn't it? We used to just hang out, and we used to go to the, what's the big complex called? With the bowling.
Oh, Hollywood Bowl.
Yes! There's the McDonald's across the way.
The Nando's.
Yeah, there was no Nando's back then. I'm prehistoric, I predate Nando's.
You know what? It kind of makes sense. If you're going to be bunking school, not to bunk school in your actual area.
Yeah, that's
if you're listening, I'm not telling you to bunk school. I'm not giving you any encouragement on how to do it.
It wasn't me.
It was all Cara. That's Cara's voice you're hearing right now.
That's Cara's voice. Cara's saying, if you're going to bunk school.
That's
We had a green blazer, so we had to we were very conspicuous.
You couldn't take it off when you were bunking?
Surgically attached when you were bunking.
Okay. I see.
No, but it's true, though. The teachers, like, hang around. Like, do you know what I mean? This is good thinking. I mean, I'm not, you know.
what inspires the music you write? Move is, if I'm not mistaken, a song of kind of defiance in a way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's basically for anyone that's kind of found the strength to like move forward in a relationship where you're not kind of being treated or loved properly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of sassy, it's confident. I think it's quite empowering as well, which is good. And I don't know if you've seen the video as well, where I'm like with my girls, and I I'm not going to go any further.
I do you know what I love about the cover?
Which one?
The cover of Move, the artwork.
Oh, the cover. Yeah, sorry. I was like, Move ain't a cover, bitch. That's my answer.
Sass.
Love it. Sass through and through.
Sorry, excuse my French. No, I didn't say B-I-S-H, by the way, so that doesn't count.
No, you can swear. Go as much as you like. Let's do that again. Let's do that again. No, do you know what I love about the cover?
Again.
Swear at me. No. It's the fact that the inspiration is clear with the Aaliyah artwork.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Because I looked at it and I thought, where have I seen? It was
she's
so familiar
queen.
Straight away. I was going to say
she's
you're a big Aaliyah
queen.
Fan.
I'm a huge Aaliyah fan.
Oh, Will just wanted to tell you that he's a big Aaliyah fan.
Somebody's entered the room.
No, that was where we all were
his name is
coming
Will.
Through the door.
We needed a drum roll. But yeah, no, Ellie has been a huge inspiration of mine, who I've been listening to since I was young, along with like Lauryn Hill, Erykah Badu, and then like the soul greats. My dad, I first kind of got into soul music like when my dad's a big music collector. He like collects thousands of vinyl CDs, vinyl players, like, and he was playing all that music around the house. So when I think the first song that inspired me to want to sing in the first place was I heard Roberta Flack sing The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face.
Nice.
And I was in his like office on his like recliner chair, and I was like, oh my god, I literally had tingles all over me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, I want to be able to like make people feel that when they listen to me. Or I didn't know, I was like really young.
Yeah,
but do you kind of remember that as the moment when you decided you wanted
that,
to sing?
And then I mean, that's definitely a point where I was like, wow, I kind of listened to the song feeling like I wanted to be able to make people feel like that as well.
Yeah.
And then from that, I just continued, obviously, discovering that kind of, because that's before my time. The 70s, you know, I love the 70s and 80s, 60s soul, but like, I kind of then started writing and putting my own inspiration from my life and stuff into my music. And I guess that's kind of fused this kind of soul, R&B, pop kind of thing. I hate putting myself
Finchley.
In books. Yeah, it's with a sprinkling of ES, East Finchley. Big up the ES.
But you're actually going to, speaking of covers and non-covers, you're actually going to be playing.
We'll play a little game.
Yeah.
Pens and papers in front of you.
Oh my gosh,
Cara, you also have a pen and paper in front of you.
We are both very fiercely competitive people.
Okay, well, in honour of you being here, now you have a few songs related to love.
Yes.
We've got some songs really about bad love, breakup type love, which isn't really love anymore because you're breaking up. But we haven't just got them forwards. No, we've of course flipped reverse.
I see what you did there.
There will be points for song, points for artist. I do have clues as always.
Yes.
But let's get into song number one. This is the flip reverse track. Oh, that's a crazy, I think. Yeah, so
I'll
write
guess
it down.
The song.
Song and artist.
Yeah.
If you can get both, either or, there's points for either. Did you want to hear it again? Have you got it?
Yeah, no, could you play it again?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, can I that one
on mic, Mark.
Is that a joke? Am I... No.
I can't figure it out.
Really?
Can
I'm surprised
one
by
that.
Yeah, of course. I think the singer's quite obvious.
Do we get a clue?
Oh, I think I know it.
This was a 90s hit about an estranged lover.
Oh, so that's definitely not the right song that I was going to
say.
Thank you very much.
Moving on. Okay, number two. Okay. This is a payback song about someone cheating on you. Need it again?
Yeah.
So, song number two, song or artist, or song and artist for points.
Why am I so shit at this again this week?
I'm not being funny, this is really difficult. I'm struggling.
Wait, one more time. I know what it is.
I'm excited. I feel like Marcel's coming into his own with these games now.
I know what it is, but I can't
just
get
can't
it.
Can't get it out. Okay, well, this is number three. Okay. Number four, okay. Come on now, write that down. You know that one. Stop looking, Marcel.
I'm not looking. I swear.
I'm one of those people. You know, at school where you get that one person who's always good at maths, and they're like covering.
She's really good.
Cover your answers.
No. I don't cover them, but I get them all wrong.
But you're not playing the hooks of these songs.
Not necessarily. Well, they're backwards. You can tell. Okay, here we go. One more time, and then I'm moving it on. I've just said Cara and Marcel are playing together because you can't stop looking at each other's paper. Michael, you're on your own here.
He's looking at my straw.
I'm looking at the bottom of the straw.
All right,
the straw's amazing. It's like a straw.
We're moving on.
It's my warm-up technique.
Oh, where are we? Oh, gosh. Click the fire. I don't want to do this. Whoa, okay.
Oh, does that work?
Yeah.
I might have to start doing that before I start recording.
Gotta move on. Crunch coming in. Number five. Come on now.
You've got to give us a bit more.
Come on.
Was that reversed?
Yeah, you think you know what it is, right?
These are shit snippets.
That's the chorus of the song.
Was that number five?
Yeah. That's easy, right? That doesn't even sound like it's reversed.
Oh, I know that one.
Okay, Cara and Marcel have got this one. They are the tag team. Number six, I'm moving on. Come on now.
Oh, wait, sorry, play that one more time.
Number
that's Celine Dion.
Six. Yeah, no, of course, it's not Celine Dion. Right, number seven.
Oh, everyone knows that one. If you don't know that one, then bloody hell.
Right, exactly. Right, and finally, number eight. Oh.
Really?
A little short and sweet, but... I got to get some answers.
I've got seven.
Right. Cara, what did you get for number one?
Ooh, Always Be My Baby, Mariah.
Okay. Marcel, what did you probably got the same as Cara?
Always Be My Baby, Mariah.
Yeah, funny that. And then what did you get, Michael?
Always Be My Baby, Mariah.
Okay, 2 points.
I'm totally lying. She's not even
checking. You didn't? No.
Okay, maybe I got that wrong because I know they've copied me, but that was
Always
probably...
Be My Baby was correct by Mariah Carey.
Well, obviously I'm going to know Mariah because she's my queen.
Okay, number two, Michael Payne, what did you get for number two?
I got Eminem, but I didn't get a song.
Okay, what did you get, Marcel?
My one was like... Da-na-na-na.
No, that's not a rock. What did you get, Cara?
I love that song.
Cara, what did you get for number two?
I'll be honest, I could lie and say I thought it was Eminem, but I didn't get the title. But that would be.
That's what it was. Okay, in that case, he got it right. Half a point. Sorry. Number three, what did you get, Marcel?
Wait. Number three?
Mm-hmm.
He's got the exact same.
What did you get? Tell me.
Nothing.
No, okay, what did you get, Cara?
I'll be honest.
Nothing.
It's just
Michael
a big
Payne, what did
nothing.
You get?
Bad. No, wait, sorry. No. Nothing. Nothing.
I wrote Rihanna.
Can't give any. No, you didn't say it though, did you?
Right.
Number four. Come on. Number four.
You did, right.
Okay, number four. We're moving on. Number four.
I got Lady Gaga, Bad Romance.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Cara.
Cara, what did you get? You got that too?
Yeah, I got
what
that
What did
one
you
well.
Get, Justin?
I got Bad Romance.
Whoa! Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Did you get the name
number
as well?
Number five. What did you get?
I've got Adele Rolling in the Deep.
What did you get, Cara?
That's the same.
Did you get that?
No, was it Hello from the Other Side? It was one of them.
You didn't.
Oh my God! It was Move.
No, it was.
It was Move.
Someone give me a. It was. So you're saying it's Adele?
I'm saying
it's
Rolling in the Deep.
I think that might have been. No.
Okay. You got Adele, Cara. You get 1 point, but Marcel, of course, gets 2 points there. Number six.
I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Yes.
The Dolly Parton version.
Points. Number seven.
I got Glory Again at I Will Survive.
Yeah. Same.
Wait, yeah. There was eight.
There was a seven, and you missed that.
And there was an eight.
0 points.
Eight. What did you get?
I don't think I got anything for eight.
I got a Professor Green. I just wrote Professor Green.
No, number eight was.
To be totally honest with you, I didn't even realise there was a number eight.
Okay.
Marcel's a little bit sleepy.
Well,
he's preparing for his
I can give you some
exit.
Answers. Michael Payne in third place with four points.
Yeah.
Cara in second place with 9 points, but in top place is Marcel with 10. So,
I think these games
Wait. I got 10 points.
Yeah, because you didn't, you got the wrong Adele song, didn't you? And Marcel did not. You did not tell me Rolling in the Deep.
I've only got.
We've got the points. I've got to move on.
Marcel,
take the points, Marcel.
I will take the win.
The Hannah Whitten Show on Fubar Radio. have Scala with me.
Hello.
We've got Abby with us.
Hey.
Yeah. So, we're going to play Position Impossible.
Position Impossible.
All right, so the way that this game works is that Abby has a list of sex positions. Some of them are real, some of them are made up, and we have to guess whether they are real or made up, and then also guess what it is.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
It's a competition as well. It's on. Also, I can't, like, look at both of you at the same time, so don't mind me whilst I just move my chair.
Okay, let me kick it off then.
So, the cherry on top.
Oh, my God.
That is the name of the sex position. Do you think it's real or fake?
Fake news.
I want to say fake as well. I'm just going to say whatever Hannah says, because no. I feel like she'll probably know more than I do.
No, but half of these are made up. Well, not made up, but, like, they're from the internet, so...
Okay.
The names are strange. It's not, like, doggy, which is obviously one.
Yeah.
It's, like, shit like that.
Okay, I'm going to say fake.
Fake?
Yeah.
Oh, it's real.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well then, we're both wrong. Cherry on top. I just thought it was too... I don't know, I just thought it was an easy one to make up.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's real. Oh, God, what is it? Cherry on top. Is it...
Try and describe it.
What does it look like? A cherry Bakewell? Is that like...
Oh, my God. That image you created in front of my head. Thank you so much.
Is there marzipan involved?
I can say that one thing is on top of the other. So
one person is on top of the other. The hole on top, it's the hole on top, is the vagina person on top.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, cherry, but, like, it's more specific than just, like, girl on top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Mm. Is it, like, a marzipan? And considering the cherry is red, does that play a part in
it? Oh, period.
Oh, no.
Period.
Oh,
okay, sorry.
That'd be so good, though.
That makes sense to me.
Oh, then that's good. Thinking outside the box. Okay, no. I'm trying to think, like, what can happen whilst a lady is on top. Many things.
Gosh. Well, which way on top are you thinking?
Oh, I was just thinking, like, normal, facing each other, but facing the feet.
Nope.
Oh, what? God, the side? The window. A mirror.
The window.
She's looking out the window. She's like, I'm having a great time. So, what? She's on top. She's facing the ceiling?
Yes.
Whoa.
What? Is she lying on top?
She's lying on top, yep.
Mm-hmm. She's lying on top backwards. Is the person with the penis also on their back?
Yep.
I don't understand that angle.
I don't understand that either.
That angle sounds painful. What? Are they head to head and toe to toe?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Are they planking, like, on it? Is that basically it?
Yeah, pretty much it. But to be more specific, there's also hand fondling. So there we go. Oh. Take a look at the picture.
Oh, wow. Look at that pic. That is very detailed.
Okay, then.
I can't post... Wait, I think I deleted my Snapchat. I can't post this on my Snapchat.
You deleted Snapchat?
Yeah, because I use Instagram stories.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I actually deleted
both.
Oh, no. Now my Instagram followers have to get this.
Oh, no.
I didn't think this through. Sorry.
Oh, so you do the same thing I do, where, like, on Snapchat, I'm a little bit more, like, X-rated, and then on Instagram stories, I'm, like, very professional and, like, put
it's
together.
It's, like, art. Oh, shit. Well, this is going on Instagram stories now, for those of you that want to... Oh, God, so many people are going to see this.
For people who can't see the photo, it is, like Hannah said, so person one lies on their back, person two is on top and inserted through, well, it could be both holes. Not at once, but...
It's only one penis. Yes. Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a nice picture.
It's all about going deep, apparently, in the description I've got here.
This is the first interracial couple that we've had. I mean, a lot of the other stick figures, like, you don't think you can really tell their race, but...
They were different colours, but, yeah, they were, like... I think
these are the most realistic humans we've had.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. The other ones are actually yellow and pink.
What
people?
Oh, so the Simpsons and what's pink? I don't know. If it was blue, it would be like the Simpsons and Smurfs.
Yeah. Okay. What about crash landing?
Oh my God,
that sounds so violent and so intense. like the images I'm getting in my head. No, like just painful for everyone involved.
Is it? Oh my! I'm literally imagining someone lying down with an erection, and then the person just going, Geronimo!
Yeah, like, that's what I got, and I was like, that would just not work.
And then just missing.
Oh gosh!
And just like crash land on the dick.
Everyone would end up in the emergency room.
Oh, I'm gonna say fake.
Yeah, that has to be fake. But I don't know, because, like, honestly, like, this is a really big world and anything is possible. And what you just described could be real and an actual thing people have done.
I'm going to try it.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, imagine on a trampoline. No. No, actually, wait.
That's worse.
That's worse. Just, like, two bodies just, like, bouncing and just, like, smack. Ooh, and smacked on the microphone.
Gosh.
Oh, God. Is it... That's kind of like, that's reminded me of like a kind of like simplistic way of like, you know, when you're kids and you don't really know what sex is and you just kind of think that people like touch sort of thing, like they hug and they have sex sort of thing, or like have a baby that way. Yeah. That's what it reminded me of.
What, this or the
No,
the
what you just said, okay. The trampoline and jumping on and just guessing.
Just like, ah, did we do it? I don't know.
You're both right because it's fake. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yes. You're still going to try it though.
Crash landing. Yeah. There's got to be a way. If you're in a support harness, right, okay, so say if you get a sex swing, so you're in the sex swing,
yeah.
But you get one that you can, like, adjust the height of. So one person is lying down with the erection in place, and then you just lower yourself on, but you can, like, try and lower yourself on, like, really quickly. Just like, ah, gosh! No, never
mind. Oh, my gosh. I feel so sorry anyone that has to
have sex in me.
Yeah. I'm so frightened for them. So frightened.
I've never heard anyone say that they'd be frightened for them, but I like it. I'm into it.
Okay, cool. What about the knee bender then?
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure what yet, but I have a sneaky feeling it involves bent knees.
That sounds like realistic.
Okay.
But that's doable. It sounds too simple to be anything.
Yeah. Doesn't sound sexy. That's what
I'm going to say fake.
Oh, let's do the knee bender tonight, babe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go real.
Let's say fake.
It is... real.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
No, fake. Sorry.
No! God damn it! This is like La La Land and Moonlight all over again.
Jake, sorry.
The Oscars when they're like, they'll be...
Oh, right, yeah. I'd already forgotten about that.
You're just like, what? Yeah, we all need to forget about that. God damn it. Fake. Fine. Knee bender. Well, what's next?
At least you're equalising in points now.
Ding, ding, ding.
Two That's each. Good.
Hold on. Hey.
Yay. Okay, what about the magic fan?
That's real.
I was like, I know. I've done this one.
No, but if my mum is listening, I don't know what sex is.
The magic fan. Sure. Real.
Mm-hmm. It is real.
Oh, okay.
Knew it.
Is it like sex on a Catherine wheel?
Danger.
Danger. Literally. God.
I feel like I've seen something where the lady is on the bottom and the man is on the top and he's just spinning around and around and around. I don't know if that's real though.
Is there a lot of movement involved? Like spinny movement in this movement? In this movement position? No. Is there anything that looks round like a fan?
To be fair, I can actually see where they're coming with the fan, because legs could be moved to make that sort of oval,
like a hand fan.
A hand fan.
A hand fan, like a listeners can't see what I'm doing, but pretend that I'm really posh and someone's feeding me grapes.
I see
that visualization.
It's that kind of fan.
Okay, so the legs are like, got it.
So they can be, yeah.
Okay.
No, can't imagine it, but.
Is it person with the vagina is on their back,
mm-hmm.
and yes. their legs are in the air, and then the other person is penetrating them, and they're like holding their legs that are like upright in front of them, so they're holding their ankles, so you could open and close them.
Yes, all the head nodding going on here.
Wow. Correct. Nailing it.
Correct.
I think I've done that one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Oh hello. Oh the person with the penis is also standing off the bed. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I'm into it.
Using the furniture.
You've got to always...
So, yeah,
you know, make do. Don't even have to explain that when you got it.
Nailed it. Here you go, Instagram stories. I'm so sorry. This is terrible. Is that all of them? Did we do it? Or is there more?
There's one more.
One more.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have to get this one.
You do.
You do, because then it'll be a tie.
Okay.
Rather than you losing.
Okay, I'm too competitive to
lose.
No one
likes to be a loser.
So, King of the World.
Oh, my God. Is this a Titanic? Is it in a car? Is it...
King of the World.
All I think about when I hear King of the World is Leonardo DiCaprio. Just being like, I'm the King of the World! On the Titanic. And then he dies.
Oh. What I got was more Lion King.
Ooh, yeah.
Something involving a cliff. Like a rock.
Like Pride Rock.
Pride Rock.
Specifically Pride Rock. That's my name of my penis. Welcome to Pride Rock. That's such a good name for a penis.
That is, actually. But you've kind of ruined Lion King for me now, thanks.
You were the one that heard the name of a sex position and then went Lion King.
I'm so sorry about that.
There's no rocks involved to clear
There's
that.
There's no rocks. Okay, good. Okay. King of the World.
Now you've got it in your Lion King of the World.
Lion King of the World. I'm going to go real.
I think it's real.
It is real, yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
What do you think it is?
Right. Is it got anything to do with Titanic?
No.
Ah, okay. Never mind.
Like, I imagine, like, somebody with their hands up, like, in the air. Can't see what I'm doing, but like, imagine I have my hands up in the air
like
that.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And is am I?
Is there anything to do with a crown?
No.
Someone sitting on someone's face.
No.
Okay. Is it?
But you're warm. Getting warmer. There.
So it's oral.
Yes.
Okay. Oral. Oral. King of the World. Oral. Is it oral on a penis?
Yes.
Because it's he's the king. Yeah. Fair enough, you know, win some, you lose some.
Okay.
And we're, like, less interested now. We're like, Okay.
It's just a tiny bit of specifics then to really get it, but...
Side to side. God, how many different positions are there for oral? Like, probably infinite, and my imagination just is lacking. You're just like...
I can't, like, would they be wearing a crown at the time to make it more majestic?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Are they curtsying whilst they do it?
Well, which person?
But the person giving is curtsying at the same time.
No, they're on their knees.
They're on, so they're, yeah, so they're like bowing.
Yeah. Basically, the person receiving is sat rather than anything.
So they're like on a throne.
King
of the World receiving a blowing.
That's so basic. Yeah. Such a majestic... name
for a basic thing, yeah. But what I do like in the description of it, it was like, make the blowjob even better by making a circle with your thumb and your middle finger around the base of the penis. Make it just tight enough so that the blood stays in the penis. It'll make it extra sensitive.
Oh, a bit of sex tips in there as well.
That's what was interesting.
I love it.
This is like the best sex ed class ever. I never got this at school.
Like, I've learned so much.
Not that they could teach you that at school. Don't think that would have been appropriate, but... Would have been nice.
Yeah, no, imagine. What was the final score?
So you won.
Ding, ding, ding! Sorry.
I'm upset.
Only by 1 point. It's okay.
I tried. Effort. Aww. That's what counts.
But we all learnt something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a good thing. If anything... I just can't stop thinking about Pride Rock now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, hello, Lion King.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Out of Stella Overdrive.
What's up, boys? Oh, hello.
We've actually managed to get Raph off the train from Paris.
Straight from the Eurostar into FUBAR Radio, ready to go.
I'm actually incredibly impressed that you made it, because they were like, no, he's definitely not coming.
I was convinced I wasn't going to make it.
He ran all the way from Paris.
And you guys,
I swam a bit as well.
I know, we were here early.
You were here early. You had your teas, your coffees, you've been chilling for like half an hour.
Yeah, prepping.
Yeah, vibing.
We're good.
Tell me a bit about Out of Stella Overdrive, the name. Where did that come from?
So we were rehearsing in Camden, just on Camden Road,
And I think we went through a couple of different names, and none of them really like.
No, we went through some awful names.
Yeah, some, like what? Diabolical like what? Names.
Hyperlink.
Hyperlink.
What was it? I've forgotten all the other ones.
Yeah. Fake news.
Fake news. Yeah,
Trump would love that.
Yeah. Exactly. I think we were outside just like smoking.
But we always stand outside when we go to Siggy's.
Well, that's very good because it's illegal to smoke inside.
That's true. Not in Paris.
Oh, that's vibe. That's the naughtiest thing ever. Like you're so naughty.
I know. Like people at dinner as well are just like smoking cigarettes.
That's weird.
It was a bit too much, really.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there was a bin, right? Yeah, outside this our rehearsal place, and we were just smoking one day, and we all looked.
Well, we used to always talk about the bin.
Yeah, we would be like, what's this bin? And this bin has been there since the start of us, yeah, since the start of all our rehearsal and everything. It's been there, and then we all looked at the bin at the same time as we were like wondering what name we should go for, and on the bin was graffitied Out of Stellar Overdrive, and then we
went inside.
We just had the eureka moment. We were like, "That's the name."
And
we
had to Google it and make sure.
We had to Google it.
Yeah,
all of that.
We did a lot of research. Yeah. You know? Quick Google.
And then the backstory was that the owner of the rehearsal, his mate, was like on LSD. Came in.
Shut up.
Yeah. He came in one morning, just like talking.
Came in and then just graffitied
And left
on the bin.
Yeah.
And then sorry, we were just like, I did not expect that story to be so iconic.
It's a great story.
It's a great story.
Like, because 9 times out of 10, people are like, I really don't want to tell you because it's just basically that, like,
we're just talking, we put some words together, and
I put it into a Google search guide.
This came from the Ayahuasca Kings.
That is absolutely incredible. But also, feels like a real, like, moment for you guys as a band, that you all kind of like having your moment as together, you like the downtime outside of like,
exactly
rehearsing.
Had a good day rehearsing and then it was weird because as soon as we said that, we've never even like second guessed
it. We haven't looked back at all. It's been straight,
and it's nice, it abbreviates to Oso as
well. They got rid of the bin now though.
Yeah, the bin's got taken.
What? We were considering like trying to hijack the bin,
so I was like, right guys, we're getting this bin and we're taking it home with us.
I feel like you should have carved out the graffiti.
Yeah.
That guy, his legacy, gone.
Cheers.
In an instant.
We've got a picture.
You
got a couple snaps.
That's what you need. You need the picture evidence.
I feel like one day it'll come back to us.
No, it will come back. But it lives on, you know.
We might be playing a show one day and we'll look in the audience and the bin's going to be there. Just like
vibing.
Bin's having a good time.
That means you're probably on LSD if that happens.
Yeah, you definitely are, yeah.
Back Row and Chill on FUBAR Radio.
This is Jade Adams.
Woo!
In the studio.
Jade Adams!
Hi!
Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm alright, mate. I was stuck in traffic, so I'm all like, I've got too much adrenaline because I thought I was going
to
be late.
But I've got to tell you something. I've heard that you're the funniest person in the planet or something like that. So.
Something like that.
So
basically what happened was I was...
You better make me laugh today, that's what I'm saying.
I had an interview and they said to me, they'll tell us, for the uninitiated, who are you? And I went, well, a humble answer is that I'm just a lowly cafe worker just with dreams of making people laugh. To anyone else, I'm the answer to British comedy. And then that got taken as the thing, so now I can use it as a quote, mate. So, that's
Britain's
PR, mate, that is.
That is PR, I love that. I love that.
Apparently, I'm quite funny.
I'll be the judge of that.
I have funny bones, apparently.
I've got a funny bone.
Have you? Mm. Have you got a funny bone?
Yeah.
Mate, you got to stop doing that. It's all kinds of...
I've got a funny bone.
He hits on my mum, it's kind of a problem.
Yeah, my mum loves it.
She like a right upper, I bet.
Yeah, she loves it.
I love how
big king-size Snickers right upper, she loves it.
Does she?
This is king-size Snickers with nuts, yeah.
This is taken. A turn
total
the better
tone turn.
Yeah,
FUBAR, it stands for fucked up beyond all recognition.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So you could take in any old riff raff here, really.
We can just
not on this show. We only take quality on this show, girl.
Thanks, mate.
That's why you're here.
Thank you.
Quality industry.
On quality, where I'm from, you don't really sit around bragging about yourself like people do on the internet. So when I'm in these things where I'm in for 15 minutes and I've got to make people come and see my show, I find it ever so uncomfortable to just say, yeah, I'm real funny. I tell you what you won't do is you won't be bored for an hour.
So what is your show about? Because you've got a show at the Soho Theatre.
I'm around there all the time.
Basically, it started off as I didn't want it to be what it was about. And then over the preview period that I did for about from March to July, it turned into a show, which was where I basically spent 31 years of my life trying to be other people, thinking that other people knew what the route to happiness was. And then I realised at 31, having done this show, that actually I knew what it was all along, and that was to be me. Mm. And that doesn't mean people have to be me, because I don't like that. I don't like it when people copy.
Was
quite,
it's a one laugh. I'll just write that down, one laugh.
Yeah. One tick. Write that,
one tick.
Done.
One,
no one should copy. You should just be yourself. That's what I think anyway. And I think that happiness comes from being yourself.
Indeed.
Being you. However that is, trying not to worry what other people think about you.
Yes.
Which I spent all my life doing, because I had some stronger female role models that liked to dominate me when I was growing up.
Oh,
it sounds
you?
Saucy, doesn't it?
It yeah. was.
family members. But I know I'm West Country. I'm not that West Country.
Two.
Just
make a note of that. That's two there.
Do you sing?
I do, yeah. I sing opera. This chair wants to move around.
In the show? Do you sing in the
mate,
show?
I have an ongoing battle with these chairs, so just be careful, mate. They're the enemy.
I do sing in the show, but not until the very end, which has ruined the ending. But you still won't expect it, because I take you on a roller coaster. It's full of stuff. I've just jam-packed my show with as much as I could. There's dancing, singing. I lip sync at one point. I beatbox. I rap. I can do the splits.
Shut up.
Yes, mate.
I love that.
I was a dancer for 12 years.
Fantastic.
Some people call themselves a triple threat. I am an octuple threat, which has actually no relation to the fact I look a little bit like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
You don't. You don't look like
thanks,
her.
Mate.
That's a half laugh there. I'll give you that.
4.5.
No, 3.5 laugh. Don't get flat at yourself. 3.5.
3.5. Yeah. Fucking hell.
3.5. But she's only been on like 2 minutes. That's brilliant.
That's brilliant. That is that's brilliant.
2 minutes. Is that it?
I don't laugh much. I don't laugh much. So that is brilliant.
If something's funny, he just goes,
yeah. They'd be like fucking they're belly rolling on the ground. I'm like,
is that because you think you're funnier than everyone else?
I'm mildly amusing.
Yeah, it's because you're the class clown, aren't you, mate?
I'm mildly
and so
amusing.
It's uncomfortable for you to
no,
have
it's
someone.
Not uncomfortable.
Not uncomfortable, that's no. the wrong word, because look at him, he got defensive. What I meant was. It's not uncomfortable. Four. It is. You had one there, didn't you?
Yeah,
truth is always funnier than anything else. You were probably very funny at school, which is why you went into the world of the dramatics. You were hilarious in Doctor Who, mate.
Thank you.
I was a massive fan of when you were in it. I didn't watch it so much when Matt What's-His-Face left, but when you were in it, it was brilliant.
Yeah, when I was Billy and Mickey and all that.
I know him as Rose, babes.
Rose and yeah.
Rose and Doctor, that's pretty much
Rose
where.
Rose and Doctor, yeah.
It kind of, I don't think they ever really recreated anything.
I don't past think that they did it as well as they did it when they did it then.
Yeah, babes.
Yeah.
Billy should have stayed in it and not done that stripper thing.
Oh, I didn't mind that, though, because she had her bits up.
She is well fit in that stripper show.
Mm-hmm.
She's all right.
She's better as Rose.
Oh, totes. Yeah.
You guys.
What if Rose was a stripper? In fact, you know, there's some fan YouTube videos on YouTube of Rose from Doctor Who basically
mashed in
Doctor Who and Secret Diary of a Cool Girl, because there's a scene where she has sex with Matt Smith because he's in Doctor Who and that, so they mash it together. I'm that much of a fan.
You Google that, kids.
I used to read fan fiction for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Did you write it as well?
No, I didn't write it.
So for people that don't know, fanfic is when fans write stories, episodes of their favourite shows or second favourite shows,
like
and
Harry
have
Potter.
The characters fucking and doing all sorts of craziness, and people love it.
Yeah. I was always spit roasted by Spike and Angel in my fanfiction.
Really?
No, I didn't write it. I just thought that would be funny.
That is funny. That's mildly amusing.
It's mildly amusing.
That was mildly
you
amusing.
Didn't laugh. No. You just told me it was funny, which is what you always want as a comedian.
That was funny.
There you are.
I just mark that down. That's five.
Does he do this with all the comedians?
I think so.
No, but you're the funniest ever.
What? Funniest person ever?
Yeah.
I'm quite funny.
Who inspired you when you were a young comedian?
Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders, Victoria Wood did, Julie Walters. Mm. And then I watched a lot of American stand-up, so like George Carlin and Bill Hicks. I mean, every comedian says that. My favourite stand-up's all American. All my favourite, like, proper, you know, not what I do, which is fuck-assing around with a load of bag full of props and
six.
Shit. Because my show is the first time I've done an hour of chatting as well, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to be like putting on different costumes. I stay in the same clothes all the way through the show, and I ain't Adele in it either, because I do Adele.
Is that why you got your wig with you?
I had to bring it with me, and I panicked because I thought I was going to be late, and I was just dyeing it because it was too blonde.
That does look like Adele, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do it all right.
How did sort of the Soho Theatre come about then? How did it get from you having this idea, I've got an idea to be funny in a show, how did you get it someone to commission it?
I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2016, smashed it in the dick, got nominated for Best Newcomer. Seven!
Eight! Nine!
What a roll!
Like, I need to have a little king, like, ding, 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 ding.
I've got one. I should have bought it. I did a scissor kick to PJ Duncan's Let's Get Ready to Rumble in the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club and fucked my knee up and did me ACL in.
Oh, flipping out. That's painful, isn't it?
When my mum was looking after me, she put the food on the other side of the room so I'd walk over and get it. She's a cruel bitch. And then she also gave me a little bell which she would just let me ring, like, almost like I was that guy in the wheelchair in Breaking Bad who's just about to kill Gustavo. Great reference.
Oh, yeah.
They're very good.
Am I meant to ask you guys questions?
No.
Well, we've got to move on to our film reviews, but thank you so much for coming in.
What film is it?
Well,
loads.
Just name me a film and I'll tell you what I think.
Star Wars.
Love it.
Rogue One, Star Wars.
Oh, I ain't seen it, mate.
10, by the way.
Thanks,
brilliant,
mate.
You got 10 laughs in 10 minutes. That's amazing.
Fantastic.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.